Any rebroadcast, reproduction, or other use of this show without the express written consent of the Financial Guys LLC is strictly prohibited.
Securities offered through Peak Brokerage Services, member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Independent Solutions Wealth Management or Blackridge Asset Management. Financial Guys, Independent Solutions, and Blackridge Asset Management are not an affiliate of Peak Brokerage Services, Inc.
Mike and Mihailu, episode 5? Is this 5?
Numero cinco.
We're back. So, a lot to get to today. We have a special guest here coming up shortly, Lee Zeldin, running for governor of New York. That'll be fun to talk to him and pick his brain a little bit. And then we have clips on clips on clips today.
Just yeah, nonstop. It's going to be interesting. If you're conservative, your head is going to explode. If you're a woke, radical, progressive, you're going to say, right on. But we're exposing them for basically what a joke it is in this country. And I think the biggest one that's taking a national stage is this Ministry of Truth that President Biden wants to implement and the Department of Homeland Security. I mean, my family fled a communist regime. They'd be proud at the fact that now the government wants to dictate free speech.
I mean, the crazy thing to me is, and I'm not, you know, like a conspiracy theory guy by any stretch, but I mean, it's amazing you go from, okay, we just lost Twitter to we need a Ministry of Truth. What was it? 2 days later, you lose your I guess we'll call it your woke social media network. And then you go to 2 days later, like, no, no worries. We're okay. We'll just create a Ministry of Truth. It almost sounds fake is what it sounds like.
I thought it was a joke when I first heard it. And then even scarier, and we're going to play this a little later for you in our podcast, is the crackpot who is going to be basically running this department for the Department of Homeland Security, and how she took a Mary Poppins tune and wrote some woke lyrics to it and then sang it, and it is going all over the interwebs.
And, you know, again, I go back to, what do these people, we know what they want, right? It's got to be power and control. That's all. I mean, you can't make videos like that video or talk seriously like these people are talking, like, oh, she, you know, I saw this weekend, she's super qualified. Qualified for what?
For shutting down free speech, yeah, apparently.
Yeah. Like, I don't know what you're qualified for. You're qualified to take control of our lives for us. I think we can handle that, but now we need you to do it for us.
But look, I have a singing voice that scares small children, but even if I could sing or belt a tune, I would not in any way, shape, or form basically recreate a show tune and then make it hyper-partisan and political, tape a video of it, and then blast it all over the internet. I think that's insane to begin with, let alone someone who wants to run a department in the Department of Homeland Security.
And what cracks me up with the left is, and this isn't the first singing video we've seen on somebody from the left. These come out quite a bit, especially you'll see them on libs of TikTok all the time. They're serious about it too. Like, they're not making a song to be like a comedy show. Like, they're dead serious what they're singing about and what they're parading around about. They're not kidding around, and which makes it even worse.
But even with people with lives and who's married and with kids and who work for a living, I mean, I'm ready to set myself on fire with four children, a job to begin with, podcast, things that we do. I don't have time to just write show tunes about what I believe in. Like, I'm not going to sit and write a show tune about Donald Trump,
right,
and then sing it online. But what's even scarier, though, is the reaction of the left, because they're doubling down on this.
Oh, yeah.
They're not saying she's a crackpot, she's a wackadoodle. They are doubling down on this Ministry of Truth. I mean, we're going to talk a little bit later in the podcast about how the left-wing woke media, they're melting down over Twitter, and they're basically saying, now we have to have government-sponsored crackdown of free speech. Now we have to have a crackdown on the government when it comes to dictating what free speech is.
And, you know, I saw this today on a program, and they said, so what happens if she does think you're lying on social media? What happens if you are guilty of telling disinformation out there? Well, is there a penalty for it?
Are the police going to show up and bang down your door?
Really? I mean, that's a scary thing to think about, because at this point, would you put anything past them?
Well, think about it this way. Again, I use my family as an example. There's so many different families who have great success stories in the United States of America who fled a communist regime, or people who fled brutal dictators, whether it's Cuba, Venezuela, Russia, to come to the United States to experience religious freedom, freedom of speech, where, you know, back in the day when my grandparents, my Bob and my Dita, they lived on a farm on Ukraine, then controlled by communist Russia, if they spoke out loud in public or against the government, they were arrested or sent to Siberia.
Yep.
And now the Biden administration, with this Ministry of Truth, they want to turn America into that brutal communist socialist regime that my family fled.
I guess what I struggle with, and we have Lee Zeld on the line, so we're going to bring him on in a second. I guess what I struggle with is, why don't more people think this is a problem, right? Like, forget the leftist politicians. We know they're out to lunch, right? But there's a lot of younger people, you know, there's a lot of people that are, you know, liberal minded that still are not fighting back at times with this. And to me, it's like, is this really what you want?
And taxpayer dollars are going to pay for it. And right. I think that's this perfect segue
right
into now Congressman Lee Zeldin, candidate for governor in New York State, veteran, honorably served our country and defended freedom here at home and around the world. Congressman, you're on with Mike and Mihailu, Mike and Stefan. How are you, sir?
Hey, it's doing great. Good to be with you guys.
Great to be with you, too. So we were just chatting about, and your level of a congressman, if you want to put your congressional hat on first, Nina Jankowicz, the Ministry of Truth when it comes to the Biden administration. What was your first reaction, number one, hearing that in the United States of America, there's going to be a department within Homeland Security that's going to dictate free speech, but also to the person who's going to run it in that viral video where she was belting out horrific Mary Poppins tunes?
I mean, I think it's ridiculous. This isn't North Korea. This is not Iran. This isn't Cuba. In these other countries, the government top down might be deciding what is true or not, depending on what fits the priorities, the agenda of those who are in power. That should not be happening here in the United States. I saw one comment made by Donald Trump Jr., which really summed it up nice. I mean, can you imagine Democrats if, let's say, my father was in office right now and he made me the Minister of Truth, would you be okay with that? Now, on the other side, Joe Biden, the Democrats are in power and they want to pick somebody who is an ally, somebody who is friendly to their cause, to their spin, to their deception, to decide as the arbiter of what's true and what's not true. And it's just such a dangerous, slippery slope that should be defunded. It should be eliminated. I don't want to see this in our government.
Oh, you might as well make Hunter Biden your oasis of truth while you're at it. I mean, you mentioned Donald Trump Jr., but why not make Hunter Biden? Because he's been extremely truthful throughout his last couple of years, right? But Lee,
yeah, put him in charge of the commission to decide on conflicts of interest.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Lee, quick question on this before we get to your race a little bit. But when something like this goes before, you know, New York State Senate or Congress, if you're sitting in there, are there people that actually are like, yes, this is a great idea? Are they like, wow, are you guys out of your mind? What is wrong with you that this would be an idea that we're going to pass before Congress or a state legislator, whatever it may be?
Well, I'll tell you, on this idea specifically, the conversations that I've had have been with other House Republicans. We have not been in, we're not in session this week. So the texts, the phone calls have been amongst colleagues who all share a very strong objection to this. But it's a very good question you ask as to what House Democrats are thinking. Is this something that they want to endorse? Yeah, put your name on record on that one, because if this does not go away, and there's a Republican president come January of 2025, I want to see the receipts. Don't try to come complaining that there's an appointment of the next Republican president that you have a problem with if you're going to sign along with this BS.
Yeah, and Congressman, this is Stefan. First and foremost, greatly appreciate your service to our great nation. You honorably served defending freedom here at home and around the world. You know, a few weeks ago, you came to our Dnipro Ukrainian Cultural Center. You've definitely been on the side of defending freedom, whether it's in Congress or wearing the uniform. And you know my family history, you know, fled Ukraine, came to the United States. So I want to hear your perspective as a congressman and someone with your military background about your reaction to the fact that it appears as though the Biden administration basically wants to turn the United States into the same communist type, socialist type regime that would put in a Ministry of Truth.
There are people with power in our government who don't want to make the United States the best version of itself. They want to make our country like some other country somewhere else. I believe in American exceptionalism. I believe that we live in the greatest country in the history of the world. There are people right now in power who are self-described socialists who admire these leaders and these other countries, these other forms of government. They aspire to have a society where we rely on the government for housing, for food, for jobs, for income monthly. And instead, I'm a Republican. I believe in hard work. I believe in opportunity, education. You work hard to pursue the American dream. Doesn't mean that you're guaranteed success. You work hard for it. We all share certain basic goals, regardless of party. But the extreme that you've seen the Democratic Party starting to become now, as the far left takes it over more and more, there are people who are now saying, wow, this is actually the Democratic Party. You know, if we were having this conversation just a few years ago, we'd be saying, there's just a few. AOC came in with her squad friends. There are a few in the House who have some really far left views. Every single day, they are taking over more and more of the Democratic Party. And as I travel around New York State, and I was just in Buffalo yesterday, when I'm out in Western New York, people are talking to me, and gosh, it doesn't matter where I am in the state. Democrats are telling me that they feel they don't recognize this party. They feel like it's left them. This is not the same Democratic Party that they signed up for. And I think that we are in store for a massive red tsunami coming this November, as long as we, you know, don't take anything for granted and we work hard. Republicans, this isn't just about, and conservatives, it's not just about jumping on some surfboard to ride in a wave. We have to work hard to earn the support of these Democrats and independents who are, for the first time, maybe open-minded to voting our way.
And Lee, let's talk about your campaign, because we have six months left. What are you going to do over the next 6 months to really separate yourself from the, and I will call her a far left leftist right now, and Kathy Hochul or whoever runs against her, but how do you separate yourself, and what are you doing and talking to your, you know, potential voters about as we get closer and closer in the next 6 months?
We're talking to voters about the issues that matter most to them. They want to feel safe and secure in our streets. They're hitting a breaking point because they feel like if they go to some other state that their money will go further, they'll feel safer, they'll live life freer. I believe that we should repeal cashless bail, that we should fire DAs like Alvin Bragg, who refuse to enforce the law, that we should unapologetically back the blue and give them all the resources they need to do their jobs safely and effectively. When I'm talking to a parent who cares more about their son and daughter's education than they do about blind party loyalty, let's have that conversation about parents being in charge of their kids' education and making sure that material is age appropriate in the classroom and it's not divisive, and that we're teaching more civics and American history about why and how we get to live in the greatest country in the history of the world. We're talking about how all COVID mandates should end on day one, and that we should reverse the ban on the safe extraction of natural gas and approve new pipeline applications and become energy independent again. We should just focus on the issues that matter most to New Yorkers across the parties, across the ideologies, across the regions, because right now all New Yorkers are hitting their breaking point and thinking about fleeing the state. All New Yorkers are talking about how their wallets, their safety, their freedom, and their kids' education are under attack. So we don't have to overthink things and talk about you know, different topics with different groups. Let's talk about all these topics with everybody.
Congressman Stefan, when I was in a news reporter, and don't hold it against me, it wasn't fake news back then. But when I was also the county comptroller, Kathy Hochul, the current governor, was a councilwoman and then was the Erie County clerk. Now, from a personal perspective, I think she's the world's biggest fraud in and out of politics. You know, when she was a clerk, basically didn't do her job. There were millions of dollars of checks literally stuffed in drawers. When she was clerk and running in a conservative district, she was pro-gun, pro-NRA, pro-life. And all of a sudden, she hitches her wagon to Andrew Cuomo, and then she's supporting abortion, birth abortion. She at first wanted license or did not want licenses for illegals, and then she wanted them. So when it comes to her judgment, especially when it comes to her choice of Brian Benjamin as lieutenant governor, even whether or not he gets back on the ballot or not, what do you think it says to Kathy Hochul's judgment that she selected him as her lieutenant governor?
Terrible judgment. First big decision, and she picks this guy. I mean, putting aside all the criminality, just the fact that he was the champion of the defund the police movement in the state legislature, shouldn't that disqualify him? Now, by the way, it was no secret that there were all sorts of scandals swirling around this guy. The media started reporting about it in January of 2021. But let's just say that Kathy Hochul was completely oblivious, and she gets a free pass on having the worst vetting process ever, and that you know, she's okay with the fact that the guy's the champion of the defund the police movement. Fast forward to just recently, the week before Brian Benjamin gets arrested, indicted, and has to resign, Kathy Hochul's asked by the media about all of the new facts that are out there that are now known of the scandal and investigation. Kathy Hochul, now that you know, Governor Hochul, everything that I told you, even if you didn't know it then, you now know it now, do you believe that Brian Benjamin still has your trust and support? Should he stay on to be our state's next lieutenant governor for the next 4 years? She then chooses to triple down to cover for this guy, to talk about how she has total confidence in him. She owns this. It was only 1 week later that when a prosecutor jumps in to arrest the guy that all of a sudden the guy that Brian Benjamin ends up resigning. But Kathy Hochul could have swapped him out before the deadline. She chose not to. So as the state legislature is up in Albany right now, changing the election law, moving the goalposts in the 11th hour to all jump on that same deflated lifeboat, and they're all going to sink together in it. And I don't know why they're doing it, but now there's a whole bunch of state legislators who are going to own this mess too. I have no sympathy for Kathy Hochul, because she could have removed him from the ballot weeks ago, just before the guy got arrested, before the deadline. She chose not to. It's on her.
But here's my problem, Lee. This is not the first time she's just turned a blind eye to things. I don't know. Let's look back last summer with the Cuomo allegations that came out. She didn't know anything about anything going on with that stuff. Is that the assumption? And now this again, she just doesn't understand or doesn't realize things. You can only play that card so many times before it's like the boy who cries wolf, right? Like, oh, come on, help. Oh, come on, help. Oh, come on, help. And then all of a sudden he needs help and he's screwed, right? This is the same type of thing where she just seems to turn a blind eye to anything that's important and illegal for that matter.
Yeah, she is always either complicit or out to lunch every time. She has nothing to say with regards to any of it. The deadly nursing home order and cover up, the COVID testing scandal, the $5.1 million self-congratulatory book deal, and then using taxpayer-funded staff to help write it. This Brian Benjamin selection. She has nothing ever to do with regards to any of the scandal that is always around her. Now you have the new deal. Listen, the Buffalo Bills stadium, that has to get replaced. I mean, that is one thing that we are all in agreement on. But the way that you do it, where it's like the 11th hour, it's a minute before the budget is due, and you're just going to drop it, and you're going to have your husband as the general counsel of the vendor of Bill's stadium and not be building like real firewalls in a negotiation. She shouldn't have been running point in that negotiation if her husband is the general counsel of Delaware North. But she is always completely oblivious to every scandal ever. And it is going to catch up to her fast.
I mean, could you imagine, Lee, I own an insurance agency, right? Could you imagine if any time something went wrong, I just, as the owner, said, oh, I apologize about that. I didn't see it. Oh, my fault. I should have been paying attention, but I wasn't. I'd be, my company would be closed, right? When we type of stuff like this with a well-known governor of New York, how can she get away with that when people like me would either be thrown in jail or my company's closed down for good?
Yeah, it's, you know, the Hillary Clinton, Hunter Biden exception to the scales of justice. It's etched in stone outside of the Department of Justice. When law ends, tyranny begins. And based on last name, power, who you know, people are, you know, while one person might get hauled in front of a judge because they made a right-hand turn on red today, you know, someone else is able to get away with all of the scandal that they're surrounded by. And, you know, it's a sad reality of where we are at. But fortunately, New York voters get the ultimate justice settling the score at the ballot box.
Okay, that is Congressman Lee Zeldin. Thank you so much for joining us. And for the record, your lieutenant governor candidate is a New York City police officer who will fund police. And we certainly look forward to you being our next governor. Thank you so much for joining us. Greatly appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Have a good one. There you have it. Lee Zeldin, congressman, and I believe our next governor.
I tell you, I hope so, because it's just I actually did I called into a radio show out west on Friday night and they were asking about New York. And I'm like, look, it looks like we have a chance. And that means a lot, because if it goes the wrong way, I'm scared to know what the next 4, 8, whatever years looks like here.
Well, I remember talking, you know, about being a former reporter. And when I first started in Syracuse, it was when George Pataki ran for governor. And it was the early 90s. I'm not kidding. It would be yours truly with a camera, holding on a microphone, and just George Pataki.
Yeah.
That was it. Nobody gave this guy a chance. Yeah. Nobody. Even the polling before Election Day, I remember, I think it was New York Daily News or Newsday, somewhere in New York City, said that he was going to lose by 12 percentage points. And sure enough, it was a shocker that George Pataki beat Mario Cuomo.
Yeah.
But I think it's the same scenario in this election where Lee Zeldin can, and I believe will, beat Kathy Hochul.
You know, and again, like I said, this state has never needed, and maybe I'm just speaking this as a 30-year-old, but has never needed it more. And I think the country, right? I mean, this November going the wrong way in different areas is as bad as it gets. I was talking to my dad this morning. I mean, gas prices through the roof, eggs, milk, food, you name it, through the roof. My business is insurance, homeowners premiums going through the roof because replacement costs are so high. This stuff can't go on because the lower to middle class is getting annihilated. And I hope people remember that at the ballot box. I really, really, really do.
My wife and I talk about it literally like every single day.
Yeah.
What are we still doing here?
Yep.
And we feel like prisoners, because the reason why we don't leave, and I think the reason why 95% of the other people don't leave who still are in this area, is because of family.
Yep.
You know, we have young kids and I don't want to leave my in-laws, especially in their later years. So you feel like a prisoner in the People's Republic of New York State.
Yep.
I mean, it's not just bad here, but even getting back to that national conversation too, like this country is going to hell in a handbasket. And when it comes to Nina Jankowicz, who we talked about before, I mean, appointed by President Biden, she's known as the Ministry of Truth within the Department of Homeland Security. Now, her official title is going to be the Disinformation Governance Board. Can you believe we have that in America?
What's so funny about it, when you really think about it? So we're saying this woman knows everything about everything in the world, that she can make a decision on what's truth and what's not, what's information and what's disinformation. That one person can do all that?
Well, the current Department of Homeland Security director, the secretary, Alejandro Mayorkas, he is basically saying she's absolutely politically neutral. But I'm less concerned about her being politically neutral. I'm asking, is she just insane? And so let's actually play clip number one, because I want to hear whether or not she's neutral isn't the question. I want to hear, is she crazy?
Wandering is really quite ferocious. It's when a huckster takes some lies and makes them sound precocious by saying them in Congress or a mainstream outlet. So disinformation's origins are slightly less atrocious. It's how you hide a little lie. It's how you hide a little lie. It's how you hide a little lie when Rudy share bad intel from Ukraine. Or when TikTok influencers say COVID can cause pain. They're laundering disinfo when we really should take note and not support their lies with our wallet, voice, or vote. Oh, information laundering is really quite ferocious. It's when a huckster takes some lies and makes them sound precocious by saying them in Congress or a mainstream outlet. So disinformation's origin seems likely less atrocious.
I will give her credit.
She's got a good set of pipes.
Yeah, and she remembered it all, and I give her credit because I couldn't remember anything. I struggle to remember what we talk about on this show.
But that's it. That's all she gets credit for. What a nut.
I mean, you can't make this stuff up. And then again, like, this is not the first time Biden's gotten into bed with one of these people and named them to just a prominent position.
Okay, but she's got a good set of pipes. I'll give her that. But I mean, they're trying to claim that she's politically neutral, that she has no axe to grind. But let's play the clip of her, clip number two, where she was on CNN talking about Trump voters at polling locations.
I think there's a general concern about Trump supporters potentially showing up armed to the polls, and these sorts of voter suppression, voter intimidation, that's illegal everywhere. And I think there's just, again, a widespread fear that, you know, groups of irregular supporters are going to show up at the polls to intimidate people and quote unquote watch. And that's very disturbing.
So we're going to go to a polling place with a gun because we support Donald Trump.
And those were the good old days. I just saw in that photo there, the COVID cases every day, just increasing on the side ticker there that was on that clip. What's scary is, and I keep going back to this, you know, presidents, let's say any president in history has a cabinet, right? They have people around them that help them make decisions. How can one person make any decision ever on every topic? Nope, that's disinformation. Oh, that's disinformation. Like, are you an attorney? Are you a doctor? Are you a politician? Are you an athlete? Like, how can you be? I sincerely hope that she's pointing out disinformation on all these sports stories out there, too. If she's going to say disinformation on politics, she better do it on sports. She better do it on Hollywood. She better do it on insurance, on whatever.
But can you imagine the outrage if Donald Trump had pulled something like this? I think it was a great point by Congressman Zeldin, basically saying, can you imagine if Donald Trump appointed one of his children to be the Ministry of Truth? But even go back to the time of, you know, pre-World War II. This sounds like Nazi Germany.
Oh, yeah.
This sounds like something that a brutal dictator would put in to control the media and control thought in a nation.
And what are they going to do? Put you to bring your example of Nazi Germany, are they going to put us in camps to say, now we're going to teach you what you need to know?
Well, here's the thing too. And we're going to roll clip number three somewhat soon, because if you and I can find these clips where she's singing, and the next one we're going to play where she's in she actually played in a Harry Potter tribute band. And then she changed the lyrics again to this song, which we're going to play for you. And let's just hear some utterly horrible music in clip number three one more time.
Why is it that every lunatic has to be in a band or singing? Let's take a look at Poland Cars. Guy can't help himself. Brings out the most terrible music in the world. I mean, why can't we just have actual conversations? Like, why do we have to be the police, or not the police, I guess, but the politically correct police. We'll sing about things. It'll make it all jolly and better. Why can't we just have real conversations?
But if we can find these clips, don't you think there's someone who does background checks at the White House to say, let's just make sure she is not insane or in a bad band that uses Mary Poppins clips to talk about Rudy Giuliani and corruption in Ukraine? Because if we're playing these clips, you don't think someone at the White House said, you may want to think twice about this person?
Well, I'm going to throw that back to you. Do you think Joe Biden has any say in anything going on in his White House?
Oh, I don't think he knows his own name.
Right. So who is the one that's going to be, you know, I guess we'll call it policing what's going on and who they're bringing in? I don't know who that person would be. Kamala certainly isn't.
Oh, but the media loves it.
Oh, sure they do.
Oh, the media loves it, because now there's actually going to be free speech on Twitter. And this is CNN's David Zurovic. He basically is making the claim, and judge for yourself, that people are stupid. We all have low IQs, and that the Biden administration, they have to implement some kind of like Gestapo Ministry of Truth, and we need to mimic Europe on doing that. Let's take a listen.
This is dangerous. We can't think anymore in this country. We don't have people. No, I'm serious. We don't have people in Congress who can make regulations that can make it work. I think we can look to the Western countries in Europe for how they are trying to limit it. But you need controls on this. You need regulation. You cannot let these guys control discourse in this country, or we are headed to hell. We are there. Trump opened the gates of hell, and now they're chasing us down.
So I'm going to ask you this, because I really don't know the answer. What are they trying to stop? Obviously free speech, we know that, but I guess my point is, what do they think is out on Twitter and Instagram and all these social media things that they need to act as if, you know, we're just spreading terrorism and recruiting terrorists on social media to kill our country? Like, I know what they're trying to stop, actual truth from getting out and their word not to be shut down, but does the average American actually think like, oh yeah, we need free speech?
But this is how,
of course we do.
But this is how crazy the ultra left wing woke radicals are, because from their perspective, they are right, we are wrong. Then we need to think like them. I think that's the end goal. And they are so insane. And I swear liberalism is a mental illness. It's like the old movie Minority Report, that old movie Tom Cruise, where basically the police department can, you know, predict a future crime before it even takes place. And then they arrest the individual before they commit a crime. So, and it flows perfectly into our next clip, because this is from the Department of Homeland Security. This is the director. So getting to your point, Mike, they actually believe that someone that doesn't think like them is automatically not only going to have harmful or hurtful speech, but they're going to commit a future crime based on speech.
But before we play that clip, but they do understand, right? They say we need free speech, yet they're shutting down people's speech. That is adding up to them, right?
But in their mindset, and this plays so perfectly into this next clip, that what you might say might lead you to commit a crime. So therefore, you can't even have the right to think it and then say it in the United States of America.
Online radicalization and how it works, Mr. Secretary, is it fair to say that believers of such disinformation could become lone wolves and take it upon themselves to act on these calls for violence against election workers?
That is a potential that we are guarding against materializing, Congressman. That is why we have so many different efforts underway to equip local communities to identify individuals who very well could be descending into violence by reason of ideologies of hate, false narratives, or other disinformation and misinformation.
I'm not even trying to be funny when I say this. I would rather them just tell us, hey, moron, don't think for yourself. We'll just do it for you. I would rather them say that than act like, you know, we're here for freedom. We want freedom. But here's like that's more of a slap in the face. Just lie to me.
And that what makes it so insane, though, is that they don't even hide it anymore.
No.
Like, they are wide open about their disdain for anyone that thinks differently than they do, because in their mindset, if you don't think like a woke radical progressive, you're not just wrong. You are dangerous and harmful, and you're automatically going to be violent just based on your thought. That's how crazy they are.
And again, anybody with a brain, you said the mental illness there, anybody with a brain would know like this doesn't add up. Right. Like this is shaky. Like we shouldn't be doing this. People can be smart enough to have their own opinion. You know, Mike Hayflick always says they don't trust us to chew gum and walk at the same time. And I think it's that, but I also think it's what you're saying now too. It's not that they think we're all stupid. It's they actually think we're smart and that we'll catch on to their crap. And that is a big problem for the left, because if we catch on to all their lies or their, you know, I don't even know what to call it anymore. It's not even lies. It's just crap. Like, it's just total crap.
But I do think liberalism is mental illness. There is no question in my mind. Liberalism is mental illness. And these woke radicals have gone way too far in the United States of America, whether it's Disney getting involved in the manufactured, you know, don't say gay controversy. And that, you know, they sure enough, Ron DeSantis turned around and slapped them back pretty hard. Defunding the police, where, you know, our streets have turned into literally mobsters taking over, attacking police, burning down cities, and then trying to groom our kids with transsexual education. I think people have had enough. They're fed up. And speaking of Florida, you know, that at least gives us hope that there's some public servant in the country who actually gets it and who thinks with common sense. Because after hearing all of this nonsense about this ministry of truth and shutting down free speech, Ron DeSantis, and let's hear it for this phenomenal public servant, and in clip six, his reaction to this craziness.
And I honestly thought this was just a belated April Fool's joke, but they are actually going to create in the Department of Homeland Security a Bureau of Disinformation. It's basically a ministry of truth. And what they want to do is they want to be able to put out false narratives without people being able to speak out and fight back. They want to be able to say things like Russia collusion and perpetuate hoaxes and then have people like us be silenced. They want to be able to advocate for COVID lockdowns. They want to be able to advocate for school closures, things that are not supported by the evidence. But then when you speak out, they want to stifle dissent. And so we reject this bureau in the state of Florida.
He always knows how to put it. He really does.
Right. I mean, finally, someone with common sense. And you know, if Donald Trump runs again in 2024, then, you know, at some point in time, Ron DeSantis will run for president, because compare his common sense in being calm and being a leader compared to President Biden, who I don't think even knows on most days his own name.
No, it's scary. I said this to my wife the other day. I said, to think that that guy, you know, he was making those comments last week where he was just making up words and couldn't say it. It's actually on my sheet here. The ill-begotten gains. He couldn't get that right. He was saying accommodates when it didn't fit in the sentence, just all over the place. That guy's the guy talking to Putin right now, by the way. That guy. That guy is the guy talking to Kim Jong-un right now. Talking to Xi, President Xi. Like, that's the guy that we have out there fighting for all of our freedoms and making sure we keep America safe. That guy.
And it's not funny anymore.
No.
His dementia. Like, it's not a joke anymore. Like, people can say, ha ha, it's, you know, Crazy Joe. It's like the crazy uncle at Thanksgiving who says something inappropriate or forgets his name.
Yep.
It is not a joke anymore. He has dementia. He is mentally incapacitated.
Yep.
And he is supposedly the leader of the free and Western world. And you know what? Let's play the clip that you were talking about, where he, and judge for yourself whether he is just marbles in his mouth or if he is suffering from dementia.
We're going to accommodate them. We're going to seize their yachts, their luxury homes, and other ill-begotten gains of Putin's kleptocracy and the guys who are the kleptocracies. But these are bad guys. This legislative package strengthens our law enforcement capabilities to seize property linked to Russia's kleptocracy.
That's the president of the United States.
I gotta tell you though, the chuckle though did make me chuckle.
It's almost like he knows he's mentally incapacitated. Like he knows, I have half of my brain barely that's functioning and that I use. And you know what? I'm fooling all of them.
Here's what the scariest part is though. And I've said this a lot recently too. So yeah, that guy's bad. We all know it. He doesn't have any clue what's going on. What might be worse is the two people underneath him, between Kamala and the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi. It's messed up, man. Nancy Pelosi can't keep her teeth in her mouth. And Kamala Harris literally sounds like a 10th grader in high school at a friggin' oral presentation.
Which leads you to the question then, who is running the country? Who's running the country? I am afraid every time President Biden opens up his mouth, because it is dangerous and deadly, because his words matter.
Yep.
When it comes to our national security, I mean, literally having the nuclear football with him, he doesn't know what his own name is on many days, let alone making sure that we are the protector of our democracy in other countries around the world. It is not a joke anymore. It's not funny anymore. This guy has dementia, and it leads to the question, who the hell is running this country?
And what's even scarier is, let's fast forward, 2 years now? If that guy runs again and wins, we have 6 more years of that. Where are we going to be?
We shouldn't have 6 more weeks of that.
I agree. But you know what? I thought when the guy's campaigning from his basement, I thought there was zero chance he'd win that election. Zero. And look what happened. Was it a truthful election or not? I don't know. But the fact that it happened once scares the hell out of me that it's going to happen twice.
But who elects him? And we're going to see in the upcoming clips who exactly elects Joe Biden, who says, you know what? I'm going to take him because I don't like mean tweets. And we talked about Ron DeSantis before and his reaction to the Ministry of Truth. I mean, here it's our favorite part of the show where we talk about all of our clips from libs of TikTok because, you know, mentioning Florida, the so-called don't say gay bill. Who are President Biden's voters? Well, it's this teacher. Now, think of the arrogance here where this trans educator basically says that doctors, physicians are wrong when they pull a baby out. I'm pretty sure when the doctor said to my 4 kids, boy or girl, but this trans teacher, the Joe Biden voters, these are the people who put Joe Biden in office who say that doctors are wrong at the beginning of birth saying boy or girl.
This is how I explain what being transgender means to kids. When a baby is born, the doctor looks at the baby and says, oh, this is a little girl, or oh, this is a little boy. And sometimes the doctor gets that wrong. So when I was born, the doctor looked at me and said, this is a little girl. And so everybody thought that I was a little girl. But when I got older, I realized, wait, that's not actually who I am. And when I was able to tell people, I said, I'm not a little girl, I'm a little boy. And that just means that I am transgender, that who everybody said that I was isn't actually who I am. And I just had to explain that to people. And there's nothing wrong with being transgender.
There's your Joe Biden voter right there.
But what I'm a little confused about there is no one-day-old individual knows if they're gay, straight, transgender, white, black. You're a one-day-old kid. You don't know anything. 25-year-olds don't know anything, let alone a kid that's got a day old, right? 40-year-olds don't know anything when they're one day old. I mean, that's what's so crazy about that. But where that's not the definition of transgender, telling a little kid this is what – No, that kid's a boy or a girl because they came out with boy parts or girl parts. The part in Kindergarten Cop says it all. Boys have penises and girls have vaginas, right?
But that's why the Florida bill is so important, because nowhere in the legislation does it say don't say gay. That's what the woke people on the left decided to come up with to make it, you know, politically correct and to kind of rally people to their side. But the reason why this bill exists, because there are school librarians like who we're going to hear from right now who basically are bragging about grooming kids as young as 4 on trans, gay, and sexual issues.
One of the smartest things that I have done at the library so far is simply put a pride flag behind me with a picture of my girlfriend. And I did the same thing that I did when I worked at Barnes & Noble, and I stuck tiny flags on the Valentine's display to indicate which books were LGBT. So the kids don't even have to ask about it. They can just grab them. This job is truly the best.
That's a school librarian. That is a Biden voter right there who says, I get my feelings hurt by tweets and I'm going to vote for the guy who doesn't know what his name is.
And I think you said this a couple weeks ago, and I can't agree more with it. Why are we pushing anything on kids? Why are we pushing being straight on kids? Why are we pushing being gay on kids? Why are we pushing being transgender on kids? Feeling bad to be white, feeling good to be African American. Why can't we just let kids learn the way they always learned and figure out what they are?
And if there's going to be a conversation about those issues, it's between a mother,
right,
a father,
right,
a parent, and those kids.
Right.
There shouldn't be a state or government-sponsored curriculum where teachers, librarians are forcing the issue on, yep, kids. And that's what the Florida law was all about. I mean, look at the next one. We've got a preschool teacher who is bragging about talking about these issues with kids as young as 3 and 4.
One of the little girls was asking a little boy, why do you wear fingernail polish? And I responded, boys can wear fingernail polish. It's not just a girl thing. Anybody can wear it. And I could tell she was confused because she wanted to say, but. I love taking every opportunity to break down the stereotype and empower all genders. Not just boys and girls, but they and them, non-binary, all of the above.
Groomer. Groomer. There it is. That's a definition of it right there.
I fail to understand and struggle to understand why this is such a hot topic for these people to do this with young kids. I really don't understand. And I never will. I don't care how many times you explain to me 12 genders or, you know, this is why we need to do this. It does not make sense why we talk to kids that don't understand anything. I go back to my, do you want hot dogs or mac and cheese for dinner? And why this is a conversation for these people. Again, for me, even I don't want to talk about that with adults,
let alone kids.
Like, if you want to have that conversation with your parents, with your close friends, with your family, do that. That's every right you have.
But that's why I say liberalism is a mental disorder. It is mental illness, and they are nuts. And I've never met a group of more angry, bitter people in my entire life, whether it's the nut jobs at, you know, the university when Alan West came and, you know, there was an angry mob that beat, pummeled students who actually had the nerve to bring an African-American, someone who served in the military in Congress on campus to talk about racial equality. They beat and pummeled them. In our last one, this is kind of crazy. This is an African-American woman. I mean, this is how angry liberals are, that she's in France. She's not even in America. So she's probably knocking over French people and not even Americans. But listen to why she wants to go and basically barrel over white people while walking down the street.
So I'm currently in Paris and I've got some errands I gotta do today. So I'm gonna go out and get myself some micro reparations by not moving out of any white person's way, since they love to take up the road.
Micro reparations.
I thought there was going to be more to that. I was waiting for the reason why she wanted to take out white people, not because they were just in the way.
Oh, no, because there needed to be reparations and she was just going to walk through the streets of Paris knocking down white people.
Got it.
That was her goal. I mean, how insane is that? Number one, she's in France. So if you're going to wipe out white Americans, you may want to come to the United States of America and not go to France and do that.
But what did those white people do to her?
Nothing.
I mean, what did I do to her? Nothing. Let's start there. What did I do to her?
Nothing. Micro reparations. We're not talking about like just the reparations. Micro reparations. Now, that's actually a term now in the liberal ideology, where you just go down the street and knock out random old white people. And that makes you feel better about slavery hundreds of years ago.
Because we all had something to do with that.
That's a thing now.
Yeah. And the one thing I want to say before we close, because I think all this stuff that we're watching, the Biden crap, the Ministry of Truth crap, I'm just going to say crap with everything because it's all crap. Did you see those videos of Philly that were all over Twitter this weekend?
Unfortunately.
Okay. To me, why don't we take a look at that? Because it's not just Philly either, by the way. That's San Francisco. That's New York City. That's areas of Buffalo. That's areas of Rochester. Why don't we take a look at that and actually focus on that instead of leaving our southern border wide open, instead of giving money away to everybody and anybody? Why don't we take a look at that? Why don't we send some people that think all these, transgender this, don't say gay that. Why don't you go live there? And why don't you think about, is that the country you want? That's what I want to know. Why don't you go there and sit there for 5 seconds? Send some of these people, like those three last people we want, go there for 5 seconds.
See how long it lasts.
And see how long it lasts.
And that's the thing. If this makes you angry, good. Because that's the first step. Because now we have to turn that anger into action. We have to turn that anger into action at the voting booth. And say, you know what? We're not going to take it anymore. Literally. This is our country. It's based on incredible values. We are the greatest country in the world, and we're going to take it back. And how do we take our country back? By basically electing like-minded, not just Republicans or conservatives, politicians with common sense who are not going to basically shove critical race theory down our throats, who are not going to defund the police and turn our streets into Beirut. So vote. If you don't vote, then it's your fault. Stop being a keyboard warrior, get involved, and make sure like-minded conservatives and people with common sense win elections this year.
And you watch some of that stuff, and it's like a nightmare movie. It's like a horror film.
This is America.
You look at, you can't believe that's America. Like, for me personally, I've never been around something like that, so I can't really fathom it. But those videos are not fake videos. That's legitimate U.S. cities looking like an apocalypse movie.
And that's why we have the choice. And that's why I always stress the importance of not being a keyboard warrior. And I hope this podcast, I hope the information we share with you, we are doing it to make your blood boil, to make you angry, but most important, to act. Get up off your ass, get away from the keyboard, and make sure that these left-wing lunatics like AOC and Nancy Pelosi and Joe Biden don't run our country anymore. And shame on you and shame on all of us if there isn't a red wave this year.
And actually spend time looking at this stuff and paying attention too. Not just, oh, my friend said to go vote here, I'll go vote there. No, pay attention, do your homework, do your research. Care about what you're voting for. That's one of the biggest things I get. Care about what you're voting for. And don't just vote on a social issue or this issue or that. Put your portfolio together and say, these are the things that are important for me. This is why I'm going to vote that way.
We have the power to elect guys like Lee Zeldin.
Yep.
We have the power to elect moms at the school board level who are tired of unelected bureaucrats shoving mandates down our throats and CRT down our throats.
Yep.
We have the power to change things, and shame on us if we don't.
We're going to wrap it right there. Week five over, going on to week six next week. I have a guest lined up for us, Stefan. I'll keep that close to the vest right now, for right now. But we're ready to do this again next week. It's always a blast. Thank you to Lee Zeldin for joining us today. And we will see you again next Wednesday on the Mike and Mihailu Show. Thanks for listening.